Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 11. John is seeing this vision, seeing the Lord. He's starting to get this revelation. And the Lord spoke, said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and to Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven sticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead." I didn't know what they were going to sing before I was preaching today. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." A lot I can preach out of that right there. Really, I only needed one or two verses out of that, but I wanted to read all of those verses because, again, that just makes you want to shout.
Yeah.
That just makes you want to shout. But I want to talk today for a few minutes about the candlestick.
All right.
The candlestick. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the healing that's already been done. Lord, I believe that chains have already been broken. I believe that just through your love, just through your spirit moving, that lives have been changed already today, Lord, that someone has been lifted up, Lord, already in this place today. But I pray that by your word, Lord, that you would help us, that you would change us, that you would restore us, that you would position us, Lord, and that you would anoint the preaching of your word, anoint the hearing of your word. And we give you honor and glory and praise for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated today. Look over and high five somebody and say, Merry Christmas. Somebody poke your neighbor in the eye and tell them we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. The candlestick. John mentions that he saw seven golden candlesticks. And these candlesticks, there's, man, you can deep dive into just anything in the book of Revelation. There's about 500 billion different directions you can go with anything. But these candlesticks represent the churches that were being addressed here in the beginning of Revelation. Now, if we go from the back of the book here towards the front of the book, go all the way back to Moses, we'll see that God gave him the plans for the tabernacle. And every part of this physical tabernacle represented a spiritual aspect and mirrored God's future plans. And we can see the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus in the tabernacle. We can see repentance and baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We can see praise and worship and prayer and all kinds of spiritual acts represented in physical aspects of the tabernacle plan. And God was very, I think it's worth mentioning that God was very, very, very specific in these plans for the tabernacle. He didn't say, this is the general idea of what I want it to look like and want it to be. You take creative liberty here. It was like down to whether or not they used ring shank or smooth shank nails. Like, it was like, you know, every single part was God's design. And it was part of God's plan, not just for then, but looking ahead. And you can deep dive on the temple and all the things. And there are signature pieces of furniture that we find in specific areas of the tabernacle. And we could spend a lot of time talking about each piece and each area of the tabernacle. But I want to look at the candlestick. Because there was a candlestick in the inner court of the temple, in which there was total darkness without it. There was no way to navigate what was inside the inner court of the tabernacle without the light of the candlestick. It was total darkness unless there was the illumination of this candlestick. You see, we take light for granted. I don't think we understand just how lost we would be if we had no light. And I mean no light. No light, no fire, no electricity. If the moon and the sun and the stars, if they stopped shining, just how dark that darkness would be and how lost we would be with no light. We're so used to walking in somewhere, flipping the switch, and the lights come on. And I think that sometimes, after we have been in the presence of God for a little while, after we've been in the inner court for a little while, that we can start to take for granted just how precious the light of the candlestick really is. I think sometimes, after we've been in that inner court for so long, we forget that I'm stumbling around in the dark without the light of the candlestick. In the inner court, it was only the light of the candlestick. There was no other form of light. There was nothing else that they could use. There was nothing else there to use. In the inner court, it was only the light of the candlestick that gave illumination. Nothing else. No other source. And it's important that we have that light of the candlestick shining, because that is what will show us how to handle the showbread. There was the table of showbread there in the tabernacle, and that showbread represents the body of Christ. It represents the Word of God. And the light of the candlestick will show the intricacies of the Word of God to you. And the oil that powers that light represents the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God that illuminates our understanding of the Word of God. You had to have the light of the candlestick to be able to handle the showbread. We need the Spirit of God that brings light, that shows us how to handle the Word of God and how to understand the Word of God. And let me tell you that you need the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. You need the oil that powers the light. I want to tell somebody today that we need the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Pentecost. I'm talking about fire from heaven, rushing mighty wind, speaking in another tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance. We need the Holy Ghost. You need to be, and you can be, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because Peter said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all of them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want to tell you that this is not some unattainable thing only for a few certain people of certain status, but it is for whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountain of the waters of life freely. I want to tell you the Holy Ghost is for you. If you are a child of God, if you want a relationship with God, it doesn't matter whether you want it or not. The Holy Ghost is meant for you. We're meant to have the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm sending the Comforter. I'm sending my Spirit. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. We need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you understanding of the Word of God that you would otherwise not have. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Peter said that the Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God that spake. Men and women of God that were moved on by the Holy Ghost and spake under the authority of the Holy Ghost. How did they speak? The Bible says that holy men of old spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. The same way that in Genesis, there was nothing. The earth was without form and void. But it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Spirit of God, it illuminates. The Spirit of God gives light. The Spirit of God gives shape to that that was without form and gives substance to that that was void. I'm telling you, we need the Spirit of God to lighten the way. You can't understand how to be saved without the Spirit of God moving on you. The old song says, there shall be light in the evening time. There shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory you shall surely find. Through the waterway, it is the light today, baptized in Jesus' name. Young and old, repent of all your sins, and the Holy Ghost shall enter in. The evening light has come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. I'm telling you, it's that light that lets you see I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the light that shows you the revelation that there is one God, one God, one God. So we need to be careful. Excuse me if I'm a little excited today. We need to be careful. We need to be careful about listening to people that haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost talk about the Word of God. I'm not saying that God can't move on people that haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. That they've got to be led by the Spirit of God somehow. Even before we're filled with the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit. It draws us. It draws us to repentance. It draws us to the water to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then He fills us with His Spirit. And it overflows and it works in our life. But we've got to be careful, because there are too many people today. There's too many Holy Ghost filled people listening to people that are not Holy Ghost filled, that have these new revelations about the Word of God and have these new ideas about the Word of God. And let me tell you that you can't get revelation without the Spirit of God. You can't understand the deep things of God without the Spirit of God. We've got to be careful today about people that are saying, well, I don't see this anymore, and this is not necessary anymore, and really all you have to do is this, and you don't have to do this, and you can forget about that. And man, these people are even saying that there's an attack for some reason right now on the book of James. There are these people, these deconstructionists and stuff that are attacking the book of James. They're saying James didn't have any understanding about what he's talking about. And the book of James ought to be stricken from the Bible and all this stuff. And you can't listen to people that have not been illuminated by the Spirit of God talk about the things of God. Because they're speaking without illumination. They're stumbling around. They might be close, they might be near the showbread, but they're stumbling around in the dark with no illumination from the Spirit. We got to have the Holy Ghost leading us and guiding us and showing us these things in the Word of God. You'll get lost in the Word. You'll get lost in the these and thous and unless you have the light of the candlestick. And you can read whatever translation you want. You can even read the Message translation, and you'll still be stumbling around in the dark, not able to discern the Word of God without the Spirit of God's assistance. We need the Holy Ghost speaking and leading us. But I want to look back now to the book of Revelation in the chapter 2, just right after what we read. In verse 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." The Lord speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says, "I know thy works, and I know your labor, and I know your patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Well, it sounds like Ephesus has got it all together. But he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You've got all this other stuff going for you. You got doctrine. You got it right. You've tried those that are false. Found them to be false. Found them to be liars. You've labored for my name. You have borne for my name. You got all this stuff going for you. Doing all this stuff right. But this thing that I have against you is that you have left your first love. "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." He said, "I'm going to remove," but basically what he said, before you even realize it, that candlestick will be gone. That illumination will be gone. That light will be gone. Unless you turn back to your first love. This is where I want us to search ourselves today. This is where I want us to look today. They had all this stuff right. They labored. They worked. They had doctrine right. They knew how to say, "That's false, that's false." They knew how to discern these things. They knew how to have patience. But they had left their first love. And he told them, and I pray that we can hear this today. He said, "Remember where you fell." Just stop for a minute and just try and quiet everything else and just think back. And you will be able to see, this is where stuff started going wrong. And anybody that has been in that place or feels like you might be in that place today, you'll realize, I can backtrack my steps and I can see this is where I veered off the path. When I started doing this, or when I stopped doing this, when I let myself get into this, or whatever it is, you can look back and say, that is where it started going wrong. And he said, I want you to go back to that place. I want you to remember where you fell. He said, I want you to go back to the first works. I want you to go back to the beginning. I want you to go back to your first love. Back to the one who loved you first. To the one whose love you are lost without. You understand that, you know, I talk about understanding the Word of God and being filled with the Spirit and all this stuff. None of that happens anyway unless God loves us first. That's why He is our first love. We didn't love Him first. What makes Him our first love is that He loved us first. I couldn't understand what love was unless He loved me first. That's why the Scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. But somebody in here today, you have let yourself get away from your first love. You might be at church. You might even be working and laboring. You might know the doctrine. You might know what the Scriptures say. You might know what you claim to believe, but you're far from that place in God, in relationship that you once were. You know why people start saying, I just don't see that in the Word of God anymore? I don't really see that this is necessary anymore. I don't feel this way about that anymore. People say, I don't see why. I don't see how. It's because the candlelight is fading. And without it, they cannot see. You ever wonder how people can walk away from things that they held so dear? From truth that they knew. From truth that they held fast to. You saw them in this wonderful, God doing a wonderful work in their life, and they're laboring, and they're working for the kingdom, and they're standing tall, and they're teaching Bible studies, and they're preaching and teaching and praying and witnessing and all this stuff. And one day, they start to profess, I don't see that anymore. I don't feel that way about that anymore. I've got this new revelation. It's because the candlestick has faded. That light has faded. And there is no way for them to see anymore. If you have found yourself questioning your faith, and you've said, I don't feel anymore about my walk with God the way that I felt when He first saved me. I don't feel in my faith as strong as I did when I first came into the church. If you find yourself starting to doubt things in the Word of God that you once held fast to, is your candlestick still in its place? Is your candlestick? Is that why you're struggling today? Is that why you're stumbling around without direction? Is that why you feel uninspired and cold, like you're in the dark? Where is your candlestick? Have you left your first, have you gotten everything else right and in place, but left that place of relationship? Because I've talked about how we need the candlestick. We need the candlelight. But we don't get that without relationship. And if my relationship with my first love starts to die, so does the light from the candlestick. And then my vision becomes dark. And I can't see anymore. In Matthew 25, Jesus is a parable. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so. Can't do it. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the 5 other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he said, 'Verily, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh.'" The one, it wasn't so much just the lamps only. It's not so much just about the lamps or just about them only, but the one that they were supposed to meet. That one that they were supposed to connect with, to have relationship with. It was all about the bridegroom coming. Everything else was for that purpose. But it must not have been that big of a deal anymore. Maybe it was at one point, but it wasn't that big of a deal anymore about the bridegroom to 5 of those. And for that purpose, or for that reason, they had no oil. And so they could have no relationship. And they were shut out. I understand today that this is heavy. I understand today that this is, I'd like to apologize to our visitors. We'll shout next week. But today I have a word from the Lord for somebody that has felt far away from your first love. And the oil in your lamp has run low, and the light of your candlestick has faded. I don't want the Lord to remove my candlestick. He said, unless you repent and you return to the first works and you return to your first love, I'll come to thee quickly. The candlestick will be removed. I've said that I believe this year, and musicians, you can come. I'm gonna wrap up here. I knew I wouldn't be long after this. I've said that I believe that this coming year will be a renaissance year for RAC of renewal and revival and return. You can stand with me. Renewal and revival. I'm praying today that those who have dark vision would return to your first love and begin to see again. I pray that our lamps would be full of oil. I pray that we'd be led by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord wants for us today. All this stuff, anything I can understand about the Word of God, anything that I can, that God can reveal to me, any place God can take me, anything God can do in my life, before all of that comes my first love and my relationship with Jesus. I want to tell you today that the Lord loves you. And I felt such an urgency as I prayed and studied and prepared. I felt such an urgency. I feel like the Lord is saying there's some people today, I'm calling them to return to their first love. They've gotten a lot of other stuff right, but the relationship has got lost somewhere in the mix. I want prodigals to return home. I want people that have walked away from God and they're out in the world. I want them to come back. I want them to return. I believe that they will. I believe that they will. But I don't want to have to pray for any new prodigals. I don't want to see another person. I don't want to watch the light fade in another person. Because you can see it, you know? You can see it. You can see the light start to fade. I don't want to watch the light fade in one more brother or sister. Until it's just... smoke. I believe that God is going to do just a mass. This is what I really feel in the Holy Ghost today. This is what I feel for altar call. This is what I feel like how the Lord wants us to respond and what He wants to do. I feel like the Lord is just going to do a mass restoration across this building today. If you're here today, you were here to hear this word. I feel like God is going to do, just send a wave of restoration and renewal and personal revival in this room today. And what I'm asking, this is just what I'm asking. I'm not commanding, and I rarely ever do this, but I'm asking for everyone to step up and let's crowd these altars today. I'm asking you, if I know circumstances, different things, but I'm asking you, if you are physically able to leave your seat and to join together in these altars today, I'm asking you to just walk and step towards these altars in faith today. Everybody that will, I'm asking us to crowd these altars today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.